Satsang with Maitreya, September 1st, 2001.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Satsang of the Teaching of Maitreya, the Federal Divine Path. I hope you'll have a very good Satsang today. And at the end, we talk about the Federal Divine Path and God's revelation, and how all the religions of the world unify here. And being here is the hearing the word of God that is called again to humanity, come and unify under one teaching that unifies all religions together as one again. And God is calling humanity, come to join us. And as usual, I'm going to go ahead and ask to see if anybody new in the audience that have not heard the Eternal Divine Path, so we can go through the path again together. So, if nobody new is here, then go ahead. If you have any questions, you can bring it up this time. Of course, they have been answering questions for the last 20-some years, and I would not be surprised if not much of a question left. And also, it was a very interesting month, last month, of the previous satsangs, and we went through a lot of purification, which was very good, and things happened in the mission also, and for the level of temples who are connected to the mission, and you know the event happening. So as we act and reach out to us to the mission, we all will progress also. It's a purification happens more as we reach to out and act and try to do the mission, and then see ourselves in the process much better. So it has gone very well with the teaching of the mission, that it's easy to go to the top of the mountain and meditate, and you say you're a great, you know, yogi at the top of the mountain. But when you come to the city and somebody push you, suddenly you become angry about it. You know, why you push such a great yogi and all that? And suddenly you see your impurity much better. You know, when you are in the action, in the society, in the, you know, the process of being with the other people. That goes very well again with the comings of life. The practicing comings of life is much more accelerated. And hopefully we have comings of life all over the world, and everybody in it practice and have more time to meditate and look at ourselves and say, wow, okay, I can get that this, I can get that that, I can practice in this way and that way. And we all become greater beings. So again, being escapist, you may make you the illusion of being great, but acting will purify us in a greater degree.
As we go through life, there are things that happen that we consider not good, stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
And instead of allowing them to make you fall and you just stay down, use those stumbling blocks to become more aware of yourself and what's going on in your life, to really face yourself so that they can become stepping stones. In other words, they make you go through life pure. That's what I would imagine.
Okay, well, I can elaborate that if you have a problem in your life and if you don't face it, it becomes a stumbling block. Okay? And because you're not facing it, you don't know exactly why this problem is in your life. So, but if you face yourself and say, okay, I have this problem in my life, and it's really bothering me, and it's really, you know, it's a blockage toward my spiritual progress, and this, I avoid the situation, I go move from that situation to a new area, or I leave the city, go to another city. After a while, we have the same problem again, and I have created the same situation for myself. Okay. And that's the pattern we were talking about in the human life. A lot of people, if you really meditate, you will find that a pattern in the life that no matter where they go, it occurs the same thing over and over. I'm having a bad relationship, okay, and then I drop in this relationship, I fall into the same trap again and again. So there is something really in me, no matter that position, anyway, move from, some people say, if I move from here somewhere else, I'm going to be okay. And they do, and then they're not okay. The same thing happened to them. So really, it's not the place, it's not the, you know, where you live, but it is the baggage that we take it with us, and we go from one place to another, and then same thing with the same energy, with the same attitude, with the same problem. We create the same situation that we were in it before, and then we blame everybody else and everything else in the universe, including God. Why he is not helping us without the facing of ourselves and meditating on it and say, oh look, no matter where I go, this pattern happens. Therefore, there is not something wrong with God or environment or other people, but it's something within myself that I have to look into it. And then when you do that, then you can little by little through your meditation and concentration, your, you know, realization of self, you realize, oh yeah, this is a pattern that it happened when I was in another place, this is the pattern that happened 2 years ago, this is the pattern that happened 4 years ago. What is the pattern in my life that is happening over and over? Now what's the problem? What is in me that creates this situation? But really, I am the creator. I am the person who creates these stumbling blocks. And if you realize what it is, okay, and as I said many times, there are creatures and humans, just like what they call a psychological problem or subconscious mind or the karmic thing that you have picked up for many lifetimes, including this lifetime, and you created kind of a ways to deal with the different situation. Each person deals with the situation differently. As you react to the situation evolves, you know, to what it will be. So, as you meditate and you see your subconscious mind, and as I said many times, these creatures can live only where? Only in darkness, that in the crevices of your soul, that you haven't shed any light in them, and you don't know even they exist. But as you meditate and you put light on them and you keep, actually it's not a very difficult thing, just see the pattern, it's happening. As you become more aware of the pattern, you become aware of those, you know, unconscious or subconscious level that you're not aware of, okay? As you more put more light on it, these creatures can't live in light. That's why meditation and self-realization is knowing God. Okay. As you become more aware of these creatures or this subconscious, you know, things, your stumbling block really dissolve themselves and go away and no longer exist, and you are freer, and you can go to any situation without creating the same pattern that you used to make. So in a way, people, again, without teaching that, you know, you have to know yourself. You have to realize, you know, what's happening in your life. Go ahead.
Well, I wondered if that kind of related to Tantra Yoga, where maybe a stumbling block is a desire you have, and then you realize through it how actually it helps you progress spiritually or something like that. And also, I can think of something in my life that seemed like a terrible stumbling block, you know, the death of my sister. But yet it actually provoked me to, yeah, search for higher truths.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and also we have to sometimes be careful with the, there are lots of beautiful words out there that we love to repeat and say them, but we really don't understand what it means. And people who say them should be able to explain what they mean. Why, what they say is pretty, is beautiful, it's catchy, you know, it's just like, we are God, all gods, all right? You know, you mean I created the universe? You know, it sounds good, it's pretty, but really you have to think about it. So I look at it as more self-realization and realizing what the stumbling block is and dissolve it and take it out of the way. Okay, so you can go farther ahead than how you can make it in a stepping stone. Okay, now with the death of Sarita's sister, okay, she it made her to become more seeking of what's the meaning of life. Why are we here? You know, she was alive, you know, a couple of hours ago, and now that she's suddenly gone, she's not there with us anymore. Actually, that's how death is. Some people, you know, work around and they're okay. 2 minutes later, they're not there anymore. You know, what happened to them? You know, is that, what is the goal? That's why death is such a powerful instrument to make humans to start thinking, what is the goal of it? What's the meaning of, you know, life? Why are we here for? You know, I'm such a big ego. I think I'm the best thing ever happened to the universe, you know. But then I die, and I just no longer there. That's why many yogis, they go to the cemeteries, and they meditate in cemeteries. It's just like Shiva used to go there and put a lot of the skulls around himself, and I meditate on the meaning of death. You know, what happened with these skulls? You know, it's just a bone, it doesn't move, it doesn't have any ego, it doesn't have anything in it. What is it? What happened to it? So death is a great way of meditating. What's the end of my life? That's it. I came here, live, eat, sleep, make children, and that's the end of me? That's I'm going to die? Or there's more to me. It's not my, I'm not my body. I'm a greater thing. I'm a soul. I've been here for a purpose, for a reason. I came here to what? To become divine. What's that mean? It means to overcome, know myself, to become a great instrument for, you know, greater purpose. And of course, you know, some humans are born to just live, sleep, make children and eat and die, and they never even question where they came from and where they're going. You know, but so the thing happened in your life that might help you toward, you know, asking yourself these questions, you know, why you are here and all that. But still, you are not self-realized. You know? When, for example, it happened to your sister, you know, you become a seeker, but you weren't completely there yet. You were seeking the questions of why she died and all that. But still, you have to go through the purification, meditation, you know, self-realization, and become, eventually come to the mission, and you receive your answer and say, yeah. If something makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And then it makes sense, but still when you're in the mission, that doesn't mean completely you overcome all the stumbling block in your life. Okay. I'd like to hear somebody else, if they have an explanation also, what's that meant to make your stumbling block a stepping stone. Have a hard time to visualizing how a stumbling block becomes a stepping stone.
From what has been said, that when things happen in our life that we think are negative, we can look at them and see truth behind them, and also if something terrible or shocking happens in our life, as with her and her sister, it caused us to move toward getting on the eternal divine path in I'm saying that the stone, the stepping stone from the eternal divine path would be beautiful, white, pure stone. And the stones would be the teachings of God. And so we would step and walk on those teachings. The stones would be the teachings from the eternal divine path to get us to God.
I was saying that is a phrase often used in New Age teaching. And what they're trying to do is make everything negative into something positive. But if something's negative, it's negative, and it needs to be dealt with. And you need to put the light on it and to reveal it for what it is and to put it behind us. But if we keep saying everything is positive, then we're really denying our problems. And we're not dealing with them. We're not facing ourselves. So I think that's part of the New Age thinking that isn't going to go anywhere.
I guess I could clarify what I was trying to explain by trying to look at it that way. I think what was happening with me is like the focus will be brought back to God in that situation. So as soon as your focus is on God, then you're where you need to be, and it makes it, I think, how you talk about bringing in the light of God, then you're looking at it straight on and not avoiding it, like we teach in our teaching.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there is a poor person that wants to do something great. He has no financial ability to do what he wants. That's a stumbling block. How can he make that in a stepping stone?
Right, I suppose what I'm saying maybe doesn't work for every situation. I was kind of sharing what I was doing in my situation.
I'm not asking you from everybody.
Okay,
it is a good word. You know, that is what the New Agers, and this, the teaching that, everything is okay, be a positive thinker, and you are God, and don't worry about it, God loves you, and all that, don't listen to the scriptures or the prophets or things like that, you are your own God and make your own path and all that. All those things have a very beautiful wording in it and makes you feel good and all that. But when you come to the explanation and dissect them and go a little deeper into them, okay, I am God. Did I create the universe? Or I am in the image of God, that God created me in His image. Okay, that makes more sense. I am in His image, but I didn't create the universe. Okay, positive thinking, I'm poor, I might have no ability to do that great task that I'm trying to do, and then say, I make that positive thing and I think very positive about it. It's not going to help. You have to put some effort. You have to see, how can I make this situation and solve the problem and come to the point that I can get the things to be done in my life. So when this people said beautiful words, okay, then you ask about it and then go deeper to see what's that mean. Okay, the stumbling block, means something in my way. Okay, of course, if you can put your head over it and go over the stumbling block and pass over it and go to the next step, great, then becoming the stepping, it really doesn't become a stepping stone, it becomes something that you got out of the way. Okay, you went over it. Okay. And the stepping stone sounds to me, I have a lot of stumbling block and I want to go to upstairs. So I take my stumbling block and make it stairs. Okay, I put the stumbling block over each other and become the stairs so I can go to the upstairs for higher consciousness. That is means using your stumbling block and the stepping stone to become kind of a stairs to go higher level, right? If you put your feet on the stumbling block, become this. Alright? And I have a hard time to say how you can use a stumbling block and make it that the stairs to get to the higher level, unless you take this stumbling block, look at it, realize it, why is it a stumbling block, take care of it, put it away, and you say, all right, I'm done with the stumbling block, what is necessary is stumbling block, and you really get them out of the way instead of, you know, using to go upstairs. So I think that's another one of those wording that sounds good, but then you really analyze it, you realize really the stumbling block is something you overcome, you dissolve it, you realize it by taking care of it. Unless somebody come up with the tell me the question, a poor person wants to, you know, buy a $500,000 home. How is he going to do it? With the stumbling block making it a stepping stone.
Coming to the realization that happiness doesn't come by having money and going more spiritual. I don't know. Becoming more spiritual, going towards God, realizing that it's okay to have nothing material.
Okay, let's put it another way. Somebody wants to become a spiritual teacher, okay, but they have some, you know, mental problem. Okay, their desire is there, but that's in the stumbling block in their way. How are they going to be able to do that?
Because you're a disgrace from them.
Yeah. Unless they have overcome their, or they have a lot of desires and attachment in the world, unless they overcome, or somebody wants to become this greatest spiritual teacher, but they have a lot of desires and attachments and all that. Unless they overcome those things, they cannot become completely a channel to God because the purity is not there. Therefore, those things is gonna, you know, make them not become a pure channel.
What about the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. They were given so much hardship in order to become pure.
But that's different. That's not the stumbling block. That is the process of purification of going toward the hardship.
This thing on stumbling blocks, and you're talking about putting them on top of one another and making stairs to go to the higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. It reminds me very much of the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. You know, they took their blocks and they built them up and they said, we're going to go to God. And what happened to them? They got scattered all over the world. You can't go to higher consciousness by putting under yourself your impurities and stepping on your impurities. That's not going to get you anywhere at all.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I think that's why I didn't understand it, was because part of it wasn't...
Yeah, there are a lot of beautiful woods out there that was thrown away out around, and it sound makes sense and make you confused, actually confused, and you think, wow, that was a pretty word. But really, you don't understand what that means. It's something that we have to be very careful, actually, in our spiritual path, that pretty words sometimes can be and actually a stumbling block. You're right, okay. That's a good question, okay. There are pretty words, there are stumbling blocks. Mm-hmm. How can you make them a stepping stone?
Don't believe them.
That's right, don't believe them.
So it's actually very helpful that kids have brought it up as a question. So again, it goes to we should question everything every year.
Exactly. You have to question yourself. You have to question other people teaching. You have to question even your own realization, you know, and eventually you come up and realize that, you know, eternal divine path and the communities of light and living in the community, seeing yourself in the community, you know, and then overcoming those problems you have, and then you will become more free and free. Yeah, give it a shot.
And I think that's great. I think that's why I didn't understand the question. I was really struggling to understand it, because I thought there was something there. Maybe that at some point John could clarify for us what was in the email. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture of what was trying to be a part of it.
Yeah, Adichan was here today. He has to take his grandmother for the hospital, and he doesn't know what else to do that. We discussed it, and he had no choice. And Brad also, I think, he's in the road and traveling, so probably doesn't have any access to the computer. But I wish they were here and explaining to us what they meant. Yeah, well.
The other thing that came up at the chat room had to do with Maya and Grace. And what was written in the chat room is Maya and Grace are the same. And it talked, and then another statement said, ego uses grace. And these things didn't make any sense to me, so I called them. I said, you know, what does that mean? I don't understand that. And then it was put in other words, and still even in these other words, it sounded like ego and grace are in the same category, and that that ego knows how to use grace. And to me, this makes no sense at all. I mean, if ego is using grace, we're in bad shape.
Well, that's how the religion starts. That the disciples and the people who hear the teachings start interpreting that according to what they understand from it. And they say something, catches people, just like make you a stumbling block, you know, to the stepping stone. This is a beautiful, you know, metaphor or thing that we can think about it. And say, oh, wow, that's good. I'm going to make my stumbling block to the stepping stones. And then, you know, what does that mean? You know, if you struggle with it for the rest of your life, try to do that, and you never analyze it exactly, what does that mean? So understanding the teaching completely, so that way it's so important understanding exactly what is grace. Okay? You know, can even grace manifest if there is ego? Okay? That is the question. The grace comes when you're completely channel of God, and you let God come through and the Spirit come through. And actually ego is the umbrella that we all have at the top of our head, and we are trying, you know, and the grace can't get to us because we have that umbrella over our head. Okay, and if everybody took the umbrella away, which means ego, that's the only thing that I said God doesn't like in the universe, is ego. If ego means, you know, anything that, you know, blocks God's grace to come to us. So how can ego be the same as grace? So it's kind of a... But grace is the same energy that we use in the universe. And really, grace is energy, is rajaguna. Now, if we use the rajaguna for the worldly thing, okay, then that grace becomes worldly and bondage and karma and prevent us from seeing that we are a part of God. We are a being here to become divine. That we can overcome those things that keep us from God and all that. Now, if we use the grace or use the energy for the higher thing, for the godly work, for godly things, then very energy become what? Become grace. Help us to go toward godly thing. It is the same energy that become worldly, or is the same energy which become grace. It's just like a grace is what is the female part of God, right? Okay. Eve fell. Okay, so the grace became what? Bondage. They were thrown out of the heaven. Before that, okay, the grace, which the same energy was in what? In heaven, and they didn't have to till the ground, they were happy, they were everything they needed, you know, provided for them. But they misused the grace. Okay? And that's what the metaphor in the Bible is the female fell. The female is the energy of the Rajaguna. And that was the whole thing happened. So it's the same energy, you can use it for a greater purpose and become grace, or you can direct it to the worldly thing and spend your time and energy to, you know, accumulate wealth and money and being, you know, being wanting to bigger car, bigger house, bigger, you know, worldly thing, and eventually you reach a point, you know, you are completely a slave of the worldly thing and you become a politician and you have to, you know, have two faces and then either want to rule, especially if you are a person that you claim to be a spiritual, at the same time you have a great desire for the worldly thing. Then you have to come what? You have to come two faces, you have to play games. Okay? You have to go to the world and become worldly and come to the spiritual, you know, people and try to look spiritual. Okay? And just like the one Christ said, that the one that was humble and said, oh God, I'm such a sinner, please, you know, forgive my sins and help me to live. And the other one was rich and was saying, hey, I'm not like that poor man over there. God, you know, I'm great and I'm, this one goes to heaven. Okay. So we can, or you cannot have two masters. You can leave one and go to the other one. Why? Because it just doesn't go together. You're worldly, be worldly. If you're worldly, I push you more, go toward the world. Be satisfied with the world first, and then you're done with it, then you don't say, oh, I had enough of this world, I don't have nothing to do with it. Then come to become a spiritual. But if it comes to applying, you don't have to do that. You can have the minimum material thing and taking care of your physiological and safety needs. The rest is what? Sharing with each other. Okay? And when you share in the common supply, everybody has a physiological and safety you're taking care of. What is that? The only thing left would toward God. Really, what do we need? You need only physiological and safety need. The rest is going toward God. But if each individual wants to, you know, accumulate wealth for themselves, well, it becomes a very self-centric thing, and you never can even make it. Because the only way you can make it probably is if you have millions and billions of dollars and you can, you know, afford to, because even those people, they accumulate a lot of money for their retirement. If they become very sick, what happens to that money? Because that doesn't drain to the hospital, the doctor bills and all that. Okay, of course, hopefully in our system eventually, medical care and education is going to be free for everyone. They wouldn't have to, you know, pay all the money for income for that purposes. So we can see that we have to create a physiological and safety need for humanity. The next step is self-realization. Okay. So we have to look at ourselves, you know, this one, are we worldly or are we spiritual? If you're spiritual, you have no choice but to come and join the communist of life or create the communist of life so your physiological safety is taken care of, you know, easily, and the rest is go toward God. Or if you're worldly, okay, go to the world, okay? Don't waste your time, you know, just try to become a spiritual and just stay in the middle and become lukewarm. That's what God said, I don't like lukewarm, okay? You know, if you're a spiritual, become a spiritual. If you're worldly, become worldly. Don't stay in the middle. Like, that's the worst place to be, in the middle. The worldly people go there and become, and put their effort into the world, and some of them are even happy where they are. Okay. Of course, nobody is happy unless they turn and go toward what they have been created for. But what they have been created for, they have been created to become divine. Okay. They have been created to become godly. Okay. So that is the decision you have. If you are worldly, then you use the grace for what? What's grace? Grace is energy. I use my energy to accumulate wealth. Is that grace? Or that become what? Become bondage. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that become karma. They become attachments. They become desire. They become things that make us more and more, you know, become bounded into the world. Okay, I'm a spiritual. I go to the mountain and I try to completely forsake this world. Then you become those yogis living in a mountain and suddenly you see a society fall apart. Like India, there's so much disease, so much misery, so much, you know, unhappiness there. Okay. Oh, that didn't work either. So what's going to work? You can see the coming stuff. Life going to work. That is the answer. Eternal divine path. Okay. Yes, you meditate, you awaken your spiritual forces, you try to realize yourself, overcome attachment desires, but where? In the comings of life, okay? With other people. And also other people are going to let you know what's wrong with you. After, oh, maybe they're nice in the first 6 months or first year living with you, but if you continue, you know, doing anything in the community that, you know, is destructive, and I say they're going to say, look, we tried for 6 months to be nice to you, but you have to, this problem, you have to take care of it. Okay? So, who is meditating? Not only you are meditating, but they are meditating also on you. So you're meditating the whole group together. Okay? So you would be able to help each other. This is not criticizing or sitting problem with another person. This is not attacking them. This is not, you know, making them feel miserable, but guiding them and pointing out their stumbling blocks. Okay? So they can take care of it and put it away and free, and they can go ahead with their spiritual crimes. So we can see, forsaking the society, forgetting the world, and going to the mountain didn't work. It leads to escapism. You become completely worldly and not, and once you live all by yourself, each individual or family, that's not going to work either. As you said, many people work all their life and they put a lot of money for their retirement fund and all that, and then they get around 65, 70, 80, they get so many diseases or something, and suddenly all those money drains to nothingness, okay? And all their life they are spending all that time for nothing. But they come with a life, with a good diet, with a good everything that mission has given you, you won't be like that when you're 60, 70, 80 years old. And even then we create a society, the medical care and education should be provided for everyone. So is it life going to save the need of taking care of? What is that? Self-realization, having a spiritual forces, directing your energy toward the creation of the comings of life, sacrificing for it. Okay. Do those people that they spend all their lives accumulating only wealth for themselves, are they sacrificing? They're not. So we can see again, the answer is the comings of life. The answer is our teachings, and the answer is to know where we are at, and how much are we putting our effort and energy to creating these communities of life for humanity, which is the answer to all the problems we have. And but the energy is the same. The grace is energy. You can use the energy for the higher thing, you can use it for the egoistical thing. That energy is not ego. How we use it, how we direct it, I think as I said, ego actually is an illusion. It really doesn't exist. It's an illusion of separation from God. Okay. That is really the definition of Maya. Maya is the illusion of being separated from God. Okay. So if we shatter that illusion, if we are realizing completely that God is always connected to us. He knows that He is connected to us. He knows that He is one with us. It is us who we have created as illusion that we feel that we are separated, we are alone, we are lonely, we are completely, you know, nobody in the universe is connected to you. So that illusion is ego. The really, in a sense, ego really doesn't exist. Ego is just an illusion that we have. But if this illusion is so real that humanity have a part of it, just like a wheel, that's what in some religion they call it wheel. It separates you from the reality.
Yes, Maitreya, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the Middle East. I know that that's where you came from. You were born, and I think you would have a real deep insight into what's going on there.
Yeah, well, if Jews and Muslims accept our teachings, they wouldn't have any problem, would they? And what part of the Middle East do you want me to talk about? Just between Jews and Muslims, or between Palestinians and Jews, or the whole Islamic concept and Jewish concept? You want to specify? That's a very broad question.
Well, I know that all the religions of the eternal life we might have, that you set out on the slide, are there. We have the Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and Baha'i. And, you know, if you thought about what if you went there, what could you do to help that situation when the conflict is so bad? What does one do to help in a situation like that?
I cannot help anyone but those who are my disciples and those disciples who want to listen to me. You cannot help a person or people who do not want to listen. If you read the Old Testament, you see God many times come to them and tell them to do this and that, and they don't do it, and then they fall. But really, I can help Middle East. Actually, the way is given for Middle East how to bring the peace and unity. But we have to bring the awareness to the people in the Middle East of this new revelation and bring them to the realization there is only one God, that all the humanity are His children, that they have to share and get along, okay? Jews have to get along with the Palestinians. Palestinians have to get along with the Jews. They have to create one humanity and live together peacefully. There are differences between cultures. They should be respected and accepted, and at the same time, more mixed together and eventually come to a kind of a more balanced culture for everyone. So the differences would not be that great that exists now. And it is happening, and it will happen. So it is a slow process of education. It's a slow process of reaching this revelation to those people. That is why we need the spiritual teacher in the mission. We need the missionaries. We need the people who come and become the teachers and go to those places, okay? We had one teacher just went to Florida, okay? And he met two new people who received the revelation and know about the eternal divine path. So our job is to give this revelation to every soul on earth and to every human on earth. It is a website. Anytime anybody goes to the website and reads the eternal divine path, we are done with them. But there are people, not only they read the eternal divine path, but also they become attracted to it, and they say, yes, that makes sense. I want to do something about it. Come to our satsangs and tell me, Maitreya, I am interested to help. And they say, okay, what are your qualifications? What kind of talents you have? Then we have to use those talents to further this a revelation to more humanity and more people on earth. And God has given us the ability to spread this message even in a greater degree than ever God provided for any revelation. So, I have to reach a point that we can teach Jews that where they stand with God, where they are in the plan of God. we have to teach Muslim the default in the plan of God. We have to teach Christians the default in God's plan. And at the end, just like a temple, everybody can enter the temple from their own religion. But when they come to the center, where are they? They are in the eternal civil plan. They have only one, there's only one religion for all humanity, and that is the eternal divine path. So that is why I am so insistent to attract the people. They want to come and join and dedicate their life and reach out to humanity. That is why I am insistent that to see a lot of teachers are created, I'm insistent to create the system that eventually we can create the Paravipuras, that they can change the society from the top of the hierarchy and all that. But should I go to Middle East and yell at Jews and Muslims that come, should come together? Do you think it's going to work?
I don't think so.
Exactly. Did Christ didn't do that? He went and he tried to purify the religions and threw the money changer out of the temple. What did they do to him? They crucified him. And then they changed his teaching to whatever they wanted, and eventually, you know, Paul comes and take over and says a lot of things that is not what Christ taught. Just you know, even the people are in our mission, okay? They are wonderful people, they are great people, they are great souls, you know, but still, they sometimes misunderstand my teachings, and they say something that is not completely what I said. That's why, you know, even the teachers in the mission usually send me the answers to the questions, and sometimes they realize that I correct them, and they say, yeah, I didn't see that before. They're counselors, they're wonderful beings, they're people that they love the mission, they know the teaching, they want to teach, they want to preach it in the most purified way, but still they don't see it exactly something that it should be. So I used to come every week here and I give answers to questions, and why I come here every month to answer the question, to hopefully eventually mission is going to come in a very purified way, the way it should be. Humanity, and we have probably around 200 cities now that it has all the satsangs from the last 20 years, that at least last 4 years that we have. So the answer to how we can help the Middle East is we need more teachers, we need more outreach, we need more communities of life. We have to create the communities of life. We have implemented the eternal divine path in these communities. We have to create many of them. So eventually the world reaches to the Middle East. Okay? A lot of Jewish people become interested in the eternal divine path. And then they are no longer Jew, are they? A lot of Muslims become interested in the eternal divine path. They no longer are Muslims. They are the friends of the Jews who are in the eternal divine path. A lot of Christians will come to the eternal divine path, okay? They're no longer Christian. Who are they? They are divines, okay? Then they wouldn't be against the Muslim or Jews or anybody like that. So the whole question is bringing all of them in the center of the temple, that they are one in that center, okay? That's why you can keep your religion, you can stay Christian, but after you came to the mission for a while and you learn the eternal divine path, are you longer a Christian anymore? If you really realize and believe that God sends all these religions, you can say, I'm not a Muslim. Yeah, I was born in the Middle East, but am I a Muslim anymore? No, I'm a divine. I'm an eternal divine path, okay? That's why, you know, Joshua has a Jewish background. I have a Muslim background. Are we in each other's throat? No. We help each other, we live in the same household. But is she a Jew anymore? I don't think so. She is a divine. Okay. And so we can see that's how we can help Christian Jews, Buddhist Hindus, Muslims, Bahais, all of them, they can come to the center of the temple and become one. But they have to realize this is the fulfillment of the prophecies that God has given to them. They have to realize it is God's revelation. Okay? They have to be taught, and they should be brought to this realization that this is the last revelation they have to listen to. If we can get this, that's why it's so important, all the things in the mission to be accepted as a package. Okay? Then you saw that, you no longer can say, I can say my religion. Because your religion was a previous revelation, it lost its place anymore. Okay? But not with the sword, not with the destructive, way, but with the education, with the understanding, with teaching, with the example. If we can create a lot of communities of light, and Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists can live in it together peacefully, will the world see that? You see, the world will say, oh, they are living peacefully and harmonically, in harmony. So it's possible to bring peace. It's possible to live, have coexistence. It's possible to share. Why Muslims and Jews can't share? It's just a land, okay. Just forget about who's a Muslim, who's a Jew. Just say, who's a better person, who's not. Just live together and share. I know it is easy to say that done, but that is what God said He's going to do. He's going to bring His kingdom on earth. That's the promise. His kingdom come. But how is His kingdom come? With the eternal divine, with the creation of the promise of life, with the education, with the realization that every religion in the past is a part of a greater revelation, which is the mission and the imprisonment of humanity. So Middle East also is such a terrible thing happening there. If you cannot help the situation, in a way, right now, you have to think for the long run. And that situation is not going to be resolved until we really create the families of life in those areas. Until we convert at least 10 to 15% of those people to the eternal divine path. So the answer to the question, how we can help them? We can't. Right now, we cannot help them. What we can do is to reach to the mission, to create more teachers, to create companies of light, and hopefully eventually someday we can help them.
Actually, I heard on the radio one time about a group, and I'm sure there's more than one, and I did hear that there were more than one in this radio program, of Jewish people who were inviting Muslims to their school so that the Jewish kids and the Muslim kids could learn about each other and get along. So they realized that that's the way to solve the problem, by integrating, understanding each other's culture and things together. So it's not just us that feel this way. There's many other people too.
That's true. That's actually, since the mission happened on Earth, the unity, at least the try to unify each other, to try to become nice to one another, to accept each other's cultures and all that has even reached in a higher level. They are trying, but those things, especially when the Jewish person was actually what happened, one of the Palestinians who was close to this Jewish youth get killed. Okay, and all these Jewish youth were very sorry because they know him. And they know he was a very good person. So it created a very brilliant situation that even they were sympathizing with what happened. Okay. But still, when they go to each other, that group is Muslim and this group is the Jew. Okay. And it's never gonna overcome that breed between themselves. Okay. I had a good Jewish person that was my friend when I was in Iran. There's a lot of Jewish people living in Iran. And has a lot, but there are some communities and they're pretty integrated into the society. And we were very good friends. And then he went to Israel. And then the next time he came back, he couldn't connect anymore. He was completely different. He was changed. You know, we grew together, we went to school together and all that. So there is a lot of propaganda, there's a lot of brainwashing happening in each both groups that you know what happened. The hero of one society become terrorist of the other one, and they create heroes, and then they put the other society down. And so no matter how much they try, the whole society should change their attitude. The whole society have to realize that we are all humans. We have the same problem. We have the same, you know, things, and we have to realize there's one earth, one humanity, one God. If we realize that, then there is no Jew or Hindu or Buddhist, but all are here to become divine. Okay, that is the goal of the life. There's no one, you know, higher, lower, or something. God loves everybody. How can God love not everybody? Because everybody is God. Okay, a part of God. It's creation. Can you not like your finger, but like your leg? No, it doesn't work. It's a part of your body. If your finger hurts, doesn't matter. It's the same as your toe hurt. It's still hurt. It's the same body. It's a part of God. So you might have to realize all these things. Okay, if they realize that, accept the mission and become divine, then do we have Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists? No. All of us are human here, struggling to become divine. Here's the resources we have. We have to share it with each other and even reach to the space and find even more resources. That the standard of living of everybody come to a point that we don't need, you know, the truth. But as Gandhi said, there's not enough for everybody's greed, but for everybody's need. So, again, sharing, coming of life, creation of the, you know, coming of life, and eternal divine path, unification of the religion, teaching humanity, reaching out, creating, you know, missionary, educating humanity that they are not Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. God is not man or woman. God is both, you know, this political and the wording, the thing is created, you know, on earth that is separate. You know, just like, no, God is man. No, God is woman. Okay, so the man and woman try to separate each other. You know, some people, you know, believe in God, says some people in God. God is both of them, neither. God is beyond a political, you know, movement or, you know, trying to create separation. This all separation has been created by human, right? We can say, some separation was created because there was different religions on earth, and God sent these religions to each group or people. Okay. But that's no longer. With understanding the mission, you no longer can be a Muslim. Probably, I know more about Quran and Islam than most of the Muslims know. But you can't be a Jew anymore. Probably, you know, Kyosha knows about Judaism more in the mission than any Jew ever could know. Or a Christian. You guys Christian here, you know about the reason for Christ coming here for the number of three. Do the Christian know all those things? What was really the reason Christ came? That his mission was threefold and he accomplished all of them? So you see, you know more about Christianity than was Christian. So we can see that coming to the mission, realizing this thing, studying them, becoming more familiar with all the religions of the world, and seeing how the mission gives you even more than any of the people in those groups, make you realize, wow, I'm already know more than anybody else on earth. Then you can teach other people. Make them realize what God has done. Okay? He sent all those reasons separately, and each of them have a message. Then you put all those messages together to see the eternal divine path. Okay? So, So this is really a salvation for the Middle East. Not only salvation for the Middle East, it's salvation for Irish and English in England. Is it a Catholic or Protestant? Neither. Okay. They cannot divine that. The divine, they have to be, if they become divine, are they going to be the same Protestant and Catholic? Yeah, they can't stay anymore in this separation. We can see that the way is given, okay, to bring peace and the kingdom on earth. But who is going to do it? I am giving it to you, so you can give it to someone else. If I can get 12-15 people, and those 12-15 people get 12-15 people, and that 12-15 people get 12-15 people, it only takes 7 levels to reach the whole humanity. It doesn't take that long. It doesn't, it's just like a pyramid scam some people use, you know. That's the same thing. It's not really a big deal. It's very easy. If we get 100 people in the mission, if I can reach 100 people deeply, that you really realize what the teaching was and what this revelation is, and each of those 100 people, you know, reach 100 people, how much is that? 10,000? And that 100 people, each of these 100 people, that's going to be how much? It's going to be around 1 million. And that 1 million each is 100 people, that's 100 million. 100 million is 100 people, it's going to be 10 billion. Oh, they reached the humanity, all humanity. That's it. You're not even 10 billion, you're around what, 6, 7 billion? So you see, it's not hard to do. But you who are called for have to purify yourself. You're still stuck in a real thing in life. You're stuck in the, you know, things that you think I should solve it for you. As I said, I can't help anybody unless you are my disciple and you are humble enough to listen what I teach you. Otherwise, even I can't help my disciple if I'm not humble enough to listen. God cannot help you if you don't want to listen. How do you meditate? You meditate to do what? Listen to God. If we are meditating and thinking of the diet last night, we are not listening to God, are we? If we are closing our eyes and know, oh, how am I going to help my, you know, people or family, we are not listening to God. And that brings me to the topic of the parents. So if the parents are the responsible to teach this thing that I teach you to your children. Children really are a captive audience. And parents have a lot of influence and power over them to teach this thing while they are growing up. Of course, you have to follow it first yourself before you can teach them. You can't teach somebody that you don't follow what you teach. You become a preacher without following your own teaching. Okay. If you teach and you don't follow, of course they don't not gonna listen to you and follow. So what was he saying? He's saying something and doing something else? It's not going to work. You have to do it. Can't teach. Then your children are going to listen. But you are, God gave those children to you. They didn't give it to me. I have my own child to take care of. They give it to you. You are the one God designated to take care of the child. So you have to tell them about the teaching in God's way. You are responsible. Don't bring it to my, drop it in my lap. Tell it my children, it's your children. I already give you what's the truth about them. I already told them what is right and wrong. You're in this mission. I gave you what is right and wrong. You tell them what is right and wrong. And follow it yourself. And stay firm. And say, that is the way it should be. If it's not the way it should be, then, you know, I can't be your parent. I'm not going to be as nice as I was, or I am. Okay. So we can see that This is the first level that revelation came through. You guys are the second level. You have the greatest, my responsibility was to give this to you. Your responsibility is to give whatever you can to whatever ability or outlet you reach or you can reach to. I connect you to God. You have to bring them and connect them to the mission and God also. So you can see, coming to the sad song is just not hearing and feeling good and having a good week or a good month. It brings a great responsibility to you also. Okay. That, do you want to solve that problem in the Middle East? Talk to more people. Teach them to them. Convert them to become divine. The more divine they have, the less Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist we will have. Okay. So, I cannot help with this right now. The way is given to if tomorrow Yasser Arafat and Sharon come to me and become divine, I solve the problem. If they become my disciples tomorrow, the problem of the Middle East is resolved. Because I can't tell them what to do. But if I go right now and want to tell them what to do, would they listen to me? So we can see subjective approach with objective adjustment. That's a part of the mission. Subjective approach means we are approaching toward bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Objective adjustment, we have adjusted ourselves to where we are. Another thing, you can arm yourself and force people to accept eternal one. Just like Muslim. Okay. Muslim for a while, they had the sword, they put the sword in your head, either you are from Muslim or your head is going to chop off. Do we have all the Muslims know Quran and what Muhammad taught and God sent to them? I was born in a Muslim country.
No.
Actually, I rejected God when I was a child because I was asking them, show me. If you show me God, I'll believe you. No. But they got angry God sitting up there somewhere and all this, you know, with his sword, you know, at the top of my head. I couldn't just, you know, even envision such a God existed. Because now I know God is everywhere, everything. You know, it's not up there, sitting somewhere, you know, separate from us. But Muslim are not, Islam is different than Muslim. Judaism is different than Jews. Christianity is different than Christians. Okay. And so we can see that, you know, that didn't work either, with the sword at the top of their head. What is what? Education, realization, teaching in a deeper level to everyone to realize what's the goal of life, what's the only one path, how the religions are unified. There is a God. A lot of people, 99% even of the people who say they're religious, they don't really believe God exists. Or at least have an experience with it. But if God said he's going to send these religions, if he said he's going to send all these teachers, if he said he's going to fulfill our promises, and he did it, does he exist? Therefore, God truly do exist. Okay. And that is the consciousness, and he's everywhere and everything. And there is nothing that is not him. So all this teaching, we need people that have been called, that's why they're looking for elects. Okay? They are for the people that have been elected, called for, come and help this mission to spread, and eventually to Middle East. And that's how I'm helping Middle East, to bringing this teaching to humanity. That's how we are helping, you know, Africa. That's how we are helping South America. That's how we are helping, you know, Europe, United States, everywhere. But people have to get up, reach to realize. You have to build a temple. if you build a temple and people in the Middle East and other people hear about it, and just even for the tourists, as the tourists come and see such a wonderful place it is, they can go through their own door of religion, and in the middle they are all one. What does it just mean to them? It's one humanity, one God, one earth. That's why we are helping humanity. But this thing has to be done. Go ahead, Tyra.
Thank you. The question is,
on
Asher, and compassion, can logic overcome compassion, or compassion overcome logic?
Okay.
How can you relate to both of them working together?
Okay, the question is, it relates to compassion and logic and how they can work together. Okay, let's first define them probably the best way is, what is compassion? What does that mean, compassion? Anybody can define compassion?
I think compassion would be God guiding this whole universe to the highest good for everything in it.
What's the difference between compassion and love? Have you ever heard anybody say unconditional compassion? Have you heard unconditional love? So what's the difference? Why love can be unconditional, but compassion cannot. Have you ever heard about tough love? There's unconditional love, there's love, and there's tough love. What's the difference between them? Is unconditional love tough love? So, I have to explain.
Right, tough love
be
love without attachment?
What does that mean by compassionate love? You either have compassion or you have love. Can you have compassion with love? See, there's a great difference between compassion and love. And a lot of people make a mistake between them. You fall in love, but you don't fall in compassion, do you? Have you ever seen, I just fall in compassion? Or these two people falling in compassion with each other? You can't hear that. So it's completely two different things, love and compassion. Love can be conditional. I love you, you do this for me. Love can be unconditional. Usually parents have a kind of unconditional love for their kids. And a lot of people talk about having unconditional love for one another. But usually there is conditions in love. Okay. And there's compassion. You might have a compassion over a isolated child in Africa, but you're not in love with them. So compassion really means, especially when it relates to the compassion of God, means corrective feeling for humanity. So, actually what Kyosha said is pretty close to what compassion means. It means that God is trying to compassionately, He has compassion for humanity. Of course, God also loves humanity. Okay. But His love doesn't mean that He's gonna not correct you. His love doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to. As I say, I still love you. I still love you, but I have a tough love for you. Have to progress. You have to see yourself as squarely. That's what the compassion of God is, because He knows If you do that, you're going to be free. You're going to be more godly by seeing yourself. Know thyself to know God. That's what God wants you to do. Now, if he says, I love you so much that if you don't even see yourself, and if you don't ask for our bless, still I'm going to love you, God doesn't have compassion for you then. Because he's not correcting you. He's not guiding you. Why does he have to send the prophets if he had unconditional love? You can do whatever you want, humanity. I still love you unconditionally. I'm not going to send the scriptures. I'm not going to send prophets. I'm not going to try to guide you. Do whatever you want and I still cannot love you. No, it doesn't. What does it do? The distraction sometimes. He has to destroy some part of the universe in order to create a new one. Oh, I have unconditional love. I can't destroy this part of the universe. I love my body unconditionally. I have a couple of tumors all over my body. I love my body so much that I'm not going to cut those tumors out because my love is unconditional. I can do nothing to do with those tumors. But I love my body, but I'm going to have a tough love toward my body. In order to cure it, I have to get those tumors out. I have a compassionate feeling on that poor child that is starving in Africa. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to try first feed it or feed it. Okay. That's become the goal of my life and then become a missionary or a social worker or dedicate myself to some kind of cause and go there and feed that child or children there. Okay, I feed them so much. They have food for a couple of days or a month or 2 months or 3 months. I leave or the resources are dried out and the kids go back to starvation again. Or I put my effort in creation of the kindness of light and create the kingdom of heaven on earth, distribute the resources in a more equal way, even reach to the space and bring more resources to the earth, and then I can help millions of kids that won't be starving. So, right now it seems so cruel not to reach to that kid. I'm not saying don't reach to it, probably not for a while. What is the greater repurpose to do in the long run? Which one is more compassionate? Okay, I have a compassionate, I feed the kid, and he become a criminal. I have compassion, but would I go ahead and start correcting him not to become a criminal, teaching him to stay, you know, good person, helping to the society. I have compassion with him, but I will correct him if he starts going wrong. So look at your definition of God's love, of compassion. If you call God, God loves me, so I don't have to look at myself. God loves me, therefore I don't see the tumor in my body, but God's going to heal me. I'm not going to go to the doctor and tell him to take those tumors out. You know, God's going to take care of tumors. It's just like that man, the flood came, and then he went at the top of his house, and they both came and told him, let's go, you know. Just get, he said, no, don't worry. I trust in God. He's going to take care of me. Later on, a helicopter came and said, come on. They came to rescue you, and he said, no, that's okay. I trust in God. Now, what he came, he eventually got drowned and went to heaven or whatever, and asked God, why didn't you help me? He said, well, didn't you see the boats and the helicopter? That is the logic of the God. The compassion was sending the boat, sending the helicopter. The logic is to seek God for help coming to you. If you're sitting there and say, well, God loves me, He's going to take care of me, but I have all these problems and these tumors and all these things in my life and my body, and I'm not going to look at them because I trust in God. They don't know, you don't know the compassion of God. Maybe my tree was sent by God to tell you, hey, there's a tumor in your life. Look at it. Take it to the doctor, take it out. But you just hold on in and say, no, I'm not going to look at my tumor, you know, because God is compassionate. And compassion means I can do whatever I want to. I don't progress. I dump my problem in somebody else's lap. I'm not going to look at them. Because I'm attached to the world. Because I have so many desires and attachments. And I follow a philosophy that fits my situation. Therefore, it's okay the way I am, and I'm not going to look at the problem. Then, of course, your definition of compassion and love and all that's going to be different than my definition of love and compassion. Therefore, we have to come to the same conclusion, unless you don't believe in the definition of love and compassion that I just gave. You believe the definition is different. So, some people never gonna look at themselves squarely. Actually, it's very, very scary thing if you really look at yourself squarely. Okay? Some people are still 75 years old. You know, they're still chasing the dreams of the 16-year-old, you know, people. Because they never knew themselves to bring their life in a godly way. So, compassion means corrective love. Compassion means the feeling of being sorry, really. The compassion only comes when somebody else is in trouble, isn't it? You can have compassion when a person doesn't need any help. Again, you might have somebody who doesn't need any help, but how can you have a compassion if the person doesn't need anything? Can you have a compassion over somebody? Compassion on someone who is in pure consciousness. Have such a compassion over a person who has such a pure, in pure consciousness. And you have a compassion, you have to be happy for that person that he or she is in pure consciousness. You cannot have a compassion over them. You can love a person who is in pure consciousness, but you don't have compassion over them because they are in trouble. Compassion really is when we create a feeling on somebody who is in trouble. Why that person is in trouble? How can we help them? We have compassion over them because they have some problem to be resolved. Can we solve them for them? Yeah, if it's the food, we can give them food. But if we can teach them how to grow food and have their food, it's even better, isn't it? We have compassion over a person who has problems in their life. Can we help them? How can we help them best to point that out to them where the problems are so they can resolve the problem in their life? But if they don't want to listen to you, can you help them? You cannot help anyone who does not want to listen. That's allowed. That's the law in the universe. As I said, I cannot help anyone but those who are my disciples and are willing to listen. Tell you. Even if you're disciples and you are not willing to listen, I cannot help you. But if you're not disciples and you are willing to listen, I can help you. I have compassion on you. I love to help you. I feel your pain. I feel your struggle. I feel your, you know, tumor. But if you don't let me get it out, if you don't go to the doctor, if you don't let